For Parsha Zemor, we're going to have 5 or 6 Divrei Torah. It depends how we count the last one, as we will get to shortly, Amir Tashem. The Parsha discusses a lot about the Kohanim and the Halachas as it relates to the Avoda of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Pasuk says, it's in Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches, it talks about who is appropriate and who is not appropriate to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk tells us that somebody who's a Kohen, if he has a mum, a blemish, it may disqualify him, depending on the type of the blemish, but it could disqualify him from doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk Yud Ches says, Ki kol ish asher bo mum lo yikrav, if somebody has a blemish, a defect, he is disqualified. He cannot do the actual avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a very interesting explanation here. Typically, we would think that it's improper that somebody has a physical deformity that they should be working in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what we would think by reading this psukim. But truth be told, there's a lot more going on here. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands who is proper and who is improper to act as a kohen of the Beis HaMikdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu would see that if there's a neshama that was not fitting to be doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, that neshama, he's just not wholesome, he's not proper to be doing the avoda. Accordingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give a physical blemish to that person in order to disqualify that person from doing the avoda. It's not that the blemish in of itself disqualifies the Kohen. It's that the neshama itself is defective, and the outward blemish, the physical blemish, is what reflects that spiritual blemish. So effectively, the Pasuk is telling us, Ki kol ish asher bo mum, anyone who has this mum, we see it as a mum. We see it as a physical blemish, but truth be told, lo yikrav, he can't do the avoda, because what's really blemished is the neshama. And that's what we really care about when somebody is going to be doing the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. We are now moving on to our second Vartora, and there's a lot of discussion in the Parsha on the Chagim, on the Moadim, so the rest of our Divrei Torah are going to focus on that. We are now moving to Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Beis, Pasuk Gimel, and it goes through the Moadim, it goes through the various holidays, but what's interesting is, as we see in these psukim, it starts out with the Moadim, and it says, these are the Moadim, these are Moadai, these are my holidays. And then it says, Sheishis Yamim Teyasim Melacha, 6 days you should do work. And on the seventh day, Shabbat Shabbat, and apparently talking about Shabbos. We introduce it as we're talking about Moadim. We thereafter talk about, in order, Pesach, and the Omer, and Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, and Shemini Atzeret, the whole list, all of more Moadim. But right here, we introduce Moadim, and then we talk about Shabbos. Shabbos is in a Moed. So what is going on here? So there is a famous Gon, there's a famous Gra on this, the Vilna Gon, and he says as follows, that truth be told, at the beginning of this introduction, when it says, these are the Moadim, 6 days do work, on the seventh day, no work, Shabbat, Shabbaton. In fact, that is really talking about either Al-Pi Drush or the Pshat, likely Drush, that it's talking about Yom Kippur, and it's not talking about Shabbos. It's also Al-Pi Pshat is talking about Shabbos, but the Vilna Gaon says it's talking about Yom Kippur as well. What do you mean? What's it talking about? 6 days on the seventh day, 6 days you have Moadim and Yom Kippur. It goes as follows. It's saying that we have 6 days of Yontif that we're allowed to do malacha. What type of malacha? You can't write on Pesach. You can't write on the first day of Sukkot on Yontif. So it's talking about the malacha that's permitted to do on Yontif, which is called Meleches Ochel Nefesh, preparations for food. For example, cooking and baking, if we do it correctly, is permitted on Yontif. Not permitted on Shabbos, but permitted on Yontif. And here, the Pasuk is telling us that 6 days of Yontif, we are permitted to do the malacha of Ochel Nefesh. What are those 6 days? So on a Doraisa level, not on a Durabona level, on a Doraisa level, we're talking about 2 days of Pesach. That's the first day of Pesach and the seventh day of Pesach. On a Doraisa level, there's 1 day of Shavuos, so that's number three, Yontif number three. On a Doraisa level, there's 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, that's number four. And number five and number six are the two Yontifs of Sukkot, the first day and the last day, the eighth day, which is Shemini Atzeret. So we have 6 days, we have six Yontifs We are permitted to do malacha, the malacha preparing of food, malachas ochal nefesh, and then the Torah tells us 6 days we do it. 6 days te'asa malacha, you can do the work ochal nefesh, and on the seventh day of Yom Hashvi, which is Yom Kippur, that's the seventh day of the Chagim that we have, the seventh day of the Muadim, Yom Kippur, that is Shabbat. Shabbaton is prohibited to prepare food. You cannot prepare food. There's no heter of ochal nefesh to cook and bake on Yom Kippur. Why? Because that is Shabbat, Shabbaton. And accordingly, we understand the psukim beautifully. Now, the yards are the Moadim. And the introduction says we have 6 days of Yontif that you can do the malacha of ochal nefesh, preparing food. On the seventh day, Yom Kippur, you can't because that is Shabbat, Shabbaton. Now we are moving on to number three. It is Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Dalet. Right afterward, it says as follows: Eilem Moadi Hashem Yikrei Kodesh Asher Tikru Asam B'Moadam. When you call it Yontif, when the Beis Din Hagadol, when the Sanhedrin decides it's Yontif, that is going to be Yontif. It's up to them to make the decision. And even if their calculations are off, even if they made a mistake, this is what the Gemara says: even if they made a mistake, even if they did it on purpose. Just whatever reason they made it Yontif, it is Yontif, even if it was mistake or on purposely mistake. They blew it for whatever reason, that is the Yontif. In fact, the Sfarim tell us that once the Beit Din here, the Sanhedrin makes that decision and they say, we're Koveya, we establish this is going to be Yontif. The Beis Din above in heaven agrees with them because it's up to the Beis Din, the Sanhedrin here, to make that decision. So there's a Gemara that spells this out and makes a drush as follows. See, these are the Moadim, Asher Tikru Osam B'Moadam, that you call it, it's the drush is Osam, when you call them, referring to the Yontif, Atem. So in other words, not Osam, but we're going to read it as Atem, because it's the same words, Asher Tikru Atem B'Moadam, when you call it, Atem, even if you made a mistake, even if you did it amazing, you knew you were miscomputing it, it doesn't matter. When the Beis Din makes that decision, Atem, when you make that decision, that is going to be the proper time. That's going to be the Moed. So the Magid from Koshnid says as follows. He says, we have a Kal v'Chomer. If you look at this Pasuk, what we're learning here is the Pasuk really says, Asher Tikru Osam B'Moadam. Osam is referring to Moadim, and the Drash is, but Atem, when you call it, we're going to make it Yontif. And we say, we're changing it. It should say Osam, and our drashas, we're making that into an Atem, and reading it as Atem. And the Atem is even when you make a mistake, when you do something with Shogi, you do it on purpose. I'm amazed, you miscalculated, it doesn't matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Beis Din above, is going to agree to it. And the Magid from Koshnid says as follows, the same thing, Kal v'Chomer, even more so, is going to apply to the Pasuk in Dvarim Yudalit, Pasuk Aleph, Banim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. Here it's not Banim Otam. The word actually says Atem. We don't have to turn it into anything. We just turn Otam into Atem to have a drasha. If it says Atem, Banim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, we're going to apply the same concept. You, Klal Yisrael, are the children for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Atem. Even if you make shogeg, even if you make mistakes, even if you do things bemazed, intentionally, you violate things. Lo aleinu, but nonetheless, even somebody who's making chatayim, even somebody who's sinning, is still going to be banim atem lashem elokeichem. We're going to apply the same rules. Even if it's shogeg, even if it's mazed, you made a mistake, you did it on purpose, you're still banim atem. You are still banim, children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are now continuing talking about Chaf Gimel, Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Bet, talking about Yom Kippur, V'nisem es nafsho sechem b'tisha l'chodesh v'erev inui. These are the afflictions of Yom Kippur. And the Pasuk says, strangely, that it applies on the ninth day of Tishrei. But Yom Kippur is on the tenth day of Tishrei. So in fact, the Gemara asks that. The Gemara says, do we fast on the ninth? The fast day is on the tenth. So why does the Pasuk says that you should afflict yourselves on the ninth day, even though it says coming tonight, but it says the ninth day? So there's a famous Gemara, a famous answer in the Gemara. It says that if you eat and drink on the ninth day, it's as if you fasted on not only the tenth, but the ninth as well. If you eat and drink on the ninth, it's as if you fasted 2 days of Yom Kippur, the ninth and the tenth. So we have a question as follows. So why would we say that if you fast On the ninth day, if you eat on the ninth day, that's if you are fasting. Of course you want to eat. Like, well, how would that turn it into a day of fasting? A day of affliction when I'm eating on the ninth. So Reb Eliezer from Lizinsk says as follows. Somebody who thinks, if he really understands that the next day is Yom Kippur, and what he has waiting for him, the judgment of Yom Kippur, if he understands the severity of the day, he would absolutely be unable to eat. He would lose his appetite out of panic, out of fear. And nonetheless, he ate. Such a person ate. It must be that this was the greatest affliction to him. Because somebody who's on Spielkes like that, nervous like that, knowing what's waiting for him, a judgment. If we can think, Lahavdil, somebody who's going into court, and he's being read his decision, life or death, he's not going to have an appetite. So if we, Erev Yom Kippur, we know what we're getting into, and we eat nonetheless, we know we're doing it as an affliction. That is painful for us. Accordingly, now we can understand why it's as if you fasted on the 9th and the 10th, because you're eating on the 9th, was really not such a pleasant event. We are now moving on to the 5th of our Torah. We are now talking about the holiday of Sukkot. We are in Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Mem Gimel, and the Pasuk says explicitly, not often do we have the Pesukim telling us the real reason why we do a mitzvah. So why do we sit in the Sukkahs? It says, Laman Yeidul Dorasechem. Why do you have to sit in the Sukkahs? You have to, so all future generations, you have this mitzvah Sukkah, so all future generations know, Kiba Sukkos, Oshavti has been Eshal. They should all know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in Sukkahs. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Anane Kavod. It's talking about the clouds of glory that we had protecting us in the Midbar. So there's a famous question on this. It's asked by the Torah, it's asked by others as well. Why do we have Sukkot during the month of Tishrei? Why do we have it? We have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then we have Sukkot. We got out of Egypt when? The month of Nisan. That's why we have Pesach, and then the month of Nisan. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sukkot, we started sitting in the Sukkot. We had the Anane Havkava, the clouds of glory, when? From Nisan. So why is it pushed off to Tishrei? So we're going to now give two answers. And that's why I said at the beginning, we can have either 5 or 6 Divrei Torah. It depends if we count the two answers as separate Divrei Torah or not. Everyone can decide as they desire. So the first answer that we have is brought by the Chidushei Harim. Beautiful answer. The Chidushei Harim says that we see in this Pasuk that required to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkot Leman Yedu. You need to understand the reason for this mitzvah. And what that requires, Leman Yedu, you need das. You need clarity and understanding why we are doing a mitzvah. And accordingly, all year round that we are involved in sins. We do sin here and there. Some people here and there and everywhere. And Chazal tell us, Ein Adam Chote Elaim Ken Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus. Someone is not going to sin. Somebody only sins if he has a ruach of shtus that enters him. That's a time of an unclarity, or we can say a time of insanity, or something between the two. Why else would somebody sin unless they lost their mind? They lost their das. They weren't thinking clearly. That's why. But otherwise, somebody who's thinking clearly, why would he sin? Why would you get that on your cheshbon? Accordingly, all year round, when people are involved in sins here and there, we see that they're lacking clarity. They're lacking clarity, and accordingly, you wouldn't be able to do Sukkot at that time. Sukkot says, Leman Yedu. You need to know what you're doing. You need clarity. You need understanding all year round. If we're sinning, we don't have that clarity. It's just after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we were cleansed from our sins. We had a kapara from our sins. It's at that point that we have clarity. We're not involved in the sins of the year yet. There is no better time to have the Chag of Sukkot, to have the holiday of Sukkot, so we can have the clarity, the das, in understanding what we are doing when we sit in the Sukkah. So it's a time of clarity, it's a time of understanding, and accordingly, coming out of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we have a clean slate, that's when we are able to focus and understand, Leman Yedu, we have das. That's the proper time to have the mitzvah, the holiday of Sukkot. And in fact, this is the word of the Chidushei Harim. He continues and says, we can now understand based on that, there's a halachic concept, hamitzah er pater min hasukkah. If somebody is in sorrow, in pain, somebody's sick, for example, or it's freezing out, Amitztaer, Potter Mina Sukkah. Someone who is in pain, who is in sorrow, is absolved from the chiyuv of sitting in the sukkah. Why is that? Because if somebody is in sorrow, he's sick, he's in pain, he doesn't have yishuv adas. He doesn't have clarity of thought. He doesn't have tranquility of thought to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah at that point. Without yishuv adas, because the person is mitztaer, accordingly, we can understand why you're potter from the sukkah. You can't sit in the sukkah because you're not able to do the mitzvah of sukkah because you don't have clarity of mind because of the sorrow you are in. Now we are moving on to a second answer, a very interesting, fascinating answer brought by the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, as to why, as we ask the question, why do we have the holiday of Sukkot in the month of Tishrei, and not in the month of Nisan? We got out of Egypt in the month of Nisan. So the Gra says as follows beautifully, that it's known that right after the Chet HaEgel, that is when the clouds of glory, the Anane HaKavod, departed from Klal Yisrael. So it's the first year we get out. Very soon after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have the tremendous calamity, the sin of the golden calf, the Chet HaEgel, the Anani HaKavod, that they were there, the clouds of glory protecting Klal Yisrael, they were removed. In fact, that's what the Pasuk says, Vayar Moshe Asayam Am Ki Paruahu, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down from that mountain, he saw that they were Paruah, that they were uncovered. What's this uncovering? That the Anane HaKavod have been removed from Klal Yisrael by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they were not even, there was no way that could be returned until Klal Yisrael were forgiven from the Chet HaEgel. Only on the 10th day of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Salachti ki dvarecha, I am forgiving you now. And that's when Klal Yisrael was commanded to build the Mishkan. And it went as follows. The day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as we mentioned, Salachti ki dvarecha, that he's forgiving them, that was Yom Kippur. And on the next day, which was the 11th of Tishrei, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, first time, we're going to be building a Mishkan. Bring your donations in order to bring the Mishkan. We need X, Y, and Z materials. And it went for 2 days, the donation. The Pasuk says, Baboker, Baboker, 2 days of donations. That is on the 12th and the 13th of Tishrei. Again, Yom Kippur, Salachti, Kidvarecha. The 11th of Tishrei, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, we need the donations for the Mishkan. That happened on the 12th. And the 13th. Come the 14th, everything was done. They had everything they needed. The craftsmen, the artisans come to Moshe Rabbeinu to get all the materials that they would need. That's on the 14th of Tishrei. And immediately on the 15th of Tishrei, they started building the Mishkan. That was the 15th of Tishrei, which is the day of Sukkot. The 15th of Tishrei, that is the day that the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, returned to Klal Yisrael, and it turns out accordingly, the 15th day of Tishrei, which is the day of Sukkot, that is the day the Anane HaKavod came back. That's what the Pasuk says, Ki Basukos, on the day of Sukkot, the 15th of Tishrei, and Sukkot is the Anane HaKavod, Hoshafti es Bnei Yisrael. It was on this day of Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot, that the Anane HaKavod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put them back, returned them, and that was the protection of Klal Yisrael, like the sukkah, and it stayed with them throughout their sojourn in the Midbar. And now we understand the second reason why there is no more appropriate time to be sitting in the sukkah. What's the sukkah? Anane HaKavod, remembering the Anane HaKavod, that when they were returned back to Klal Yisrael on the first day of Sukkot after the Chet HaEgel, and that's only then. It was then that, not from Nisan, when they came out and they were protected from Nisan, when they could Yetzias Mitzrayim, that wasn't permanent. It was very temporal. It was temporary that they had the Anane HaKavod. Only word did the Anane HaKavod come back permanently after HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Salachti Kivarecha, after the first Yom Kippur in the Midbar. And then we had the building of the Mishkan, which was on the 15th in practice. It started on the 15th, that the Anane HaKavod came back permanently. And that's why we celebrate, according to the Gra, the holiday of Sukkot during the month of Tishrei, and not during the month of Nisan. Thanks so much for listening.